What we believe really matters. What we believe about life and God and everything else in the world really makes a difference. Now, my wife really has come to believe something. My wife has come to believe, really believe, that I need a vitamin supplement. She went to another one of those California Dental Association conferences and went to one of those workshops that talked about nutrition. This is where it went downhill a number of years ago when she came back saying, "I think we need more Brussels sprouts and less beef." That was a bad day. Now she went to another workshop and she came back hawking vitamins. One a day, men's vitamin, plus 50, I think it says, plus 50 advantage. And it helps with concentration and something else, I forget. I said to her not to worry. I have discovered another vitamin supplement that could supplant this and probably goes far beyond it. It's brought out by Burger King. Satisfries. Can you believe my good luck that at the same time she came up with her idea, Burger King came through. Look at what it says. 40% less fat, 30% less calories, and increased taste. In fact, I went on the website to show her how important and how good this was. To quote, "A great new tasting crinkle-cut French fries, 40% less fat, 30% fewer calories. Status fries are cut from real whole potatoes." Which makes me wonder what all the other French fries are cut from. "And they're fried to tasty perfection, so they're always crispy on the outside, hot and fluffy on the inside." My wife was not impressed. She still has the vitamin supplement out for me one a day. Well, we could continue this discussion about food additives and nutritional additives. We can do that later. We want to talk about it. But today, we need to look at a spiritual additive to your life and mine that is absolutely essential, but one we often neglect. And the spiritual additive I'm talking about is the Holy Spirit, the often forgotten member of the Trinity. We talk a lot about the Father. We pray to the Father. We talk a lot about the Son. He died for us on a cross. He gave us the great teachings that we find in the Gospels. But how much do we talk about the Holy Spirit? How much do we even think about the Holy Spirit as we go through our day? That's what we want to discuss today. We're in week number 4 of our series entitled Transforming Truths. Truths that, if you actually believe them, they would transform your life. Because that's what God's truth does. There are 8 of them that our envisioning team discovered and wrote out for us a number of months ago. So far, we've covered in the past few weeks a God who loves, a Father who rules, and last week, a Son who saves. Today's transforming truth, number 4, let's put it on the screen and let's read it together. All out loud. We believe God the Holy Spirit teaches and empowers followers of Jesus to know and obey God. Therefore, we will rely on the Holy Spirit to empower us to obey God. Now, there's the therefore. Remember, every one of these transforming truths is not just something you put in your head and somewhere on a back burner and let it sit and percolate. There's always a therefore. The therefore is, okay, so you believe it, so what? How does our life change based on this truth? In this particular case, we're looking at the Holy Spirit's function in our lives, the fact that the Holy Spirit is here now, and it's the Holy Spirit that we desperately need to do the kind of things God calls us to do. Now, the Holy Spirit had been present in the Old Testament times. You read in various places about the Spirit of God came upon someone, particularly the kings and the prophets. If you read through your Old Testament, you will see there are those times someone was anointed with the Spirit and they spoke God's word, or they acted with great power. But it seemed like it was kind of, sometimes the Spirit would come, but not on everyone. And sometimes the Spirit would even leave. Poor King Saul had that experience when he kept disobeying God. The Spirit actually left him. And so the Spirit kind of came and went and wasn't universal. But the Holy Spirit today, in our New Testament day, the Holy Spirit has brought Jesus into the world one more time, and in a different way. I mentioned last week how the Gospel of John presents us with some very interesting and unique perspectives on the life and teachings of Jesus. It was written decades after the first three Gospels were written, and John, in his own insight and what God had revealed to him through the Spirit and his own way of communicating, gave us some wonderful, great truths. This is particularly true and important when it comes to the final discourse of Jesus on the night he was betrayed, on that Thursday night. We see some new and very important pieces of information, vitally needed by anyone who really wants to follow Jesus. With respect to the nature and the work of the Holy Spirit, we begin with Christ's statement in John 16:7. Now he's speaking to his disciples about his imminent leaving. He says, I'm going to leave you. I am not going to be with you much longer. And they were grieved at this, and they were heartbroken, and they were wondering, what's going to become of us if our Master, our Lord, leaves us? And so Jesus wanted to reassure them, and he did. He gave them this promise in John 16:7. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. Now, they didn't fully understand what he was saying then. In fact, the church wouldn't fully understand this until the day of Pentecost, which was 50 days after the Passover, when the Holy Spirit came and settled like tongues of fire on the disciples. His presence became something brand new to them, which was powerful and hasn't left. But they came, as I said, they came to realize that this promise and how important it was. Jesus used an interesting word here. The word that's translated in our New Testament Greek is the word counselor. And it's a word that literally means one who walks alongside someone. That's the literal meaning of the word. One who walks alongside you. Now, it came to be used in various contexts. It, first of all, came to be used as a friend. A friend walks alongside of you. It came to mean as a tutor. One who comes alongside and teaches you. It even had a legal connotation in that it was the lawyer. If you had to go to court and you needed a lawyer, you got a counselor. One who would be there for you. One who would plead your case for you. So the word had many different kinds of meanings as it was used in secular society. Jesus picks up and uses this word, this concept of one who walks alongside of us. Well, that's great news. It's certainly true for them back in their day, and it's certainly true for us in our day. Jesus says the same thing to us. It's good that I went back to heaven, because I will send you a counselor, one to walk alongside of you. That's good news. The Holy Spirit walks along everyone who has brought Christ into their life. The bad news is, he's not as physical as Jesus was. We don't see him. You can't touch him. But he is just as present as the air that is circulating in this room. The question is, how much time and effort do we take to notice him? When I got to this point in the message, I reflected back when I was a young boy living in my folks' house. And I had tacked up on the wall right next to my bed this little card, and it had a felt cross on it that glowed in the dark. So when the lights went out, and I'm the kind of guy who, I don't like it when the lights go out, you know. I'm the kind of guy who still likes night lights and stuff, so I don't. Now it's because I'd stumble around in the dark and stub my toe. Back then, the boogeymen were everywhere. But I remember taking great solace in just looking at that little cross. glowing in the dark. It said, you know what? You're not alone, Richard. And of course, it symbolized God's presence, didn't it? Symbolized God's presence. A physical reminder of a spiritual reality. And I think part of our problem is that we go through our day not being aware or not even creating opportunities or some kind of symbol that reminds us that the Holy Spirit is very present. The Holy Spirit is very present with us now. Now, we tend to think that because we're in a sanctuary. But you realize the Holy Spirit will be with you when you get in your cars on the way home. Or if you walk, he will walk with you down the street. You realize he's already in your house, your apartment. You realize he's already sitting at your workstation, work, at your school, the desk where you sit, supermarket. We say God is everywhere. Well, that means the Holy Spirit's presence is everywhere. Do we actually think about that as we go through our day? Or do we go through our day thinking that God isn't present at all wherever I happen to be? I'm on my own. Nobody sees. Nobody cares. Nobody is intervening. Nobody is standing up for me. I have no help. I have no recourse. I have no resource. A lot of us think that way as we go through our weekly routine. But it's not true. The Holy Spirit is God's presence with us now. It is good that I go away, because if I go away, I will send the counselor. I will send the companion, the one who walks alongside. I will send him to you. And the good news about it is, as Jesus could only be in one physical place at the time, the Holy Spirit can be everywhere, can't he? Yeah. Everywhere with you and everywhere with me. But there are a lot of things this Spirit is doing at the same time. And again, because we haven't thought about it or we haven't read and contemplated, well, we miss out. We miss out on a lot of the benefits of the Holy Spirit's presence. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth. Again, on that Thursday night, Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he said in that same chapter in John 16, in this verses 12 and following, I have much more to say to you, much more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not come on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine, and that is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. You don't know everything there is to know yet. There's a lot more. And right now you can't bear it. You can't understand it. You can't conceive of it. Right now, in fact, all you're thinking about is the fact that I'm leaving. But I got good news for you. When the Holy Spirit comes, he's going to guide you into truth. I have things I want to tell you. I can't tell them to you now. I will tell them to you later through the Holy Spirit, who will take what is mine. He will take my truth, my understandings, and he will communicate it to you. And you think back, when you look at the formation of the New Testament itself, how we see that process. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, how are they written? They're written through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaking to the minds and the hearts of those authors. And as he did that, they committed these thoughts to paper. That's God speaking through that book, and he speaks through that book to you and me. You look at the book of Acts, the history of the early church, because how on earth did this tiny ragtag bunch of people face down the entire Roman Empire? Well, that's the story of the book of Acts, how this little tiny church persecuted in one little city in the kind of the backwater area of the Roman Empire, that was Israel back in that day, and how they spread throughout the entire empire and became such a dominant force. Well, that's what Acts tells us. We see the Holy Spirit speaking to his people time after time after time, helping them to understand how big and wide the gospel message was. It was meant not just for Jews, but also for Gentiles. It was not those who just spoke Aramaic. It was to anybody. It was for Jews and Greeks. It was to the slave and to the free, for the male and the female. You look at the Apostle Paul's writings and everything he has told us about the nature and the work of Jesus, inspired by the Holy Spirit, speaking to Paul, using that great mind of his to conceptualize these things and put, again, down on paper. There are many things I want to tell you now, but you can't bear them now. But the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to show you this. And in the same great way, folks, the Holy Spirit wants to lead us into all truth. Think where you are right now in your own spiritual understanding. Think about what you understand about who God is and how God works, about your own life, about your own life mission and purpose. God has things to talk to you about. He wants to advance your understanding. He wants to advance your knowledge of who he is and what he's up to in your life, in your loved one's life, and in the world around you. And so he will lead us in the exact same way he led those men and women back in that day. It's the same Spirit doing the exact same work, but now with a new group of people. The Holy Spirit guides us into truth. There is more to learn. Why don't you have that as a motto? There is more to learn about God and about his Son and about his Spirit and about redemption and about your place in the world. I have people say to me, oh, you know, particularly younger people, they come and say, I'm just waiting for God to reveal, you know, something great that I can do with my life. Now, oftentimes when they say it that way, they're talking about a job. Something there to do for a living that's going to make a difference. And at first, I kind of went along with that. And finally, I got it. I said, you know that desire you have inside of you? Well, that's a God-inspired desire, first of all. And second of all, as God is giving you that desire, he wants to lead you in what that means for you. And guess what? It doesn't matter where you have your job, how much learning you have, where you live. God has something for you to do of eternal significance. Do you know what that is? Has God spoken to you? Have you heard it? For right now, not after you get a degree, not after you get the perfect job, not after you marry the perfect person or get the perfect place to live, right now, God has stuff for you to do of eternal significance. Do you hear his voice? Are you being led by him to talk to those people, to do those things? The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. And part of that truth is God's will for your specific life. Right now. Not sometime later. Right now. I think every day in life could be a great adventure if we'd look at it that way. That God is setting up those opportunities. That God, remember the series on intersections? Our lives intersecting other people's lives at particular times and places of his design. Right now. That's going on. Do we see it? Do we perceive it? And then do we act on it? Life can get pretty good. You know, you go to movies. Oh, wow, look at the adventure they go through. Look at what they do. Look at what they risk. Look at what they try. Da, 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 da. You're writing your own adventure novel right now, folks. Right now. The Holy Spirit guides us into all truth. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to witness. That's a part of his plan, because a huge part of his plan is, guess what? If you've come to understand the significance of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ for you, guess what everybody around you needs to experience? The same thing. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to witness. In Acts 1:8, disciples, well, they still weren't quite getting it. You know, they asked before this, a few verses before, Lord, is it now the time you're going to restore the kingdom? You know, they still thought it was going to be a military, political kingdom, and that was going to bring good times, right? If you have the good military, if you got the great king, you know, you're going to have great times, just like the United States government right now. And Jesus said, no, I think you're a little off base here. It's not for you to know the times and the places and the epochs which the Father has established, but there's a little but in there that says, oh, you know, we're not going this way, we're going this way, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. The Holy Spirit gives us the power to witness. And you know, it's amazing to me, if we're just open to the work of the Holy Spirit, Steve, come on up, what God does in the most unlikely of places. Now, Steve's moving a little slow. He had a little foot surgery, and he's off the crutches. That's good news. Don't tell the doctor he's off the Come on over here. So, Steve, you were just telling me in the parking lot last Saturday, don't talk to your pastor about, you know, stuff, because look what happens. You had a spiritual conversation with someone. Would you explain that to us?
Yeah, but before I go there, I better explain who I am so people are going to feel it. People see me and they say, oh, he's an usher, he's the finance guy, or he's a Roman guard. But for me, socially, I'm a total introvert. I get in an environment of people that I don't know. I'm an observer. And if I talk, I say yes or I say no, and that's about it. But 2 weeks ago, I was at Kaiser in that long line at the pharmacy. And as I'm standing there in the long line at the pharmacy, trying to mind my own business, there is compared to me, an older woman standing in front of me, and she turns and looks at me, and she goes, what happened to you? Did you break your foot? I said, no, I had some corrective surgery. And she said, oh, it's amazing what they can do to fix us up. Now, this is not the Holy Spirit right now. This is just the start of this conversation. And she said, you know, I know people who are 100 years old and they live in nursing homes, and the doctors today can just do everything to keep us alive, and people like that are just so afraid to die. And she said, but me, she goes, I don't care anymore. She says, I don't care about all this God stuff. And me, usually, I just, okay. And then that's the end of the conversation for me. I haven't said a word. But she said, I prayed to God once, and he never answered my prayers. And I looked at her, and I said, you know, sometime the answer is no. And she said, looked at me and just paused, and she said, is that how it works? I said, sometimes. And then she went on to say, when she was younger, and I'm guessing she's in her mid-70s, and she was Russian. But she went on to explain that when she was younger, she got pregnant. And she said, what I prayed for is that he would marry me.
The father of the child.
Marry me and be a husband and take care of our daughter. But he never did. He didn't do anything to support her. Never did anything to support me. And she said, but he's dead now. And he was a drunkard and just not a nice guy. And I looked at her and I said, you know, it doesn't sound like he would have been a good father or a good husband anyway. And I said, maybe God did answer your prayer. And about that time, it was her turn to go up to get her medicine. But I hope what I said to her, which are words that never would usually come out of my mouth, maybe they touched her that day. And that's the Holy Spirit working in you, guiding you when you're not ready to be guided, you think.
But you were.
I was.
Let's give him a hand for sharing, shall we? Just want to say that, you know, you find yourself in situations, and it would have been easy just to let that one go by, wouldn't it? But the Holy Spirit inspired him, gave him words to say, which were a little bit confrontational, and yet flowing freely from wonderful Steve. You know, anyone who knows Steve knows what a gentle spirit he is. I can see him saying that and being well received. And I believe that was one of those holy intersections where all of a sudden now this woman has been confronted with a whole different perspective on her life. A godly perspective of something totally different than before. And we should pray that God would take that and by the power of His Spirit keep making her chew on that, right? And giving her a whole new view of God. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us the power to witness. You know, Jesus said, I don't have a slide for this, but Jesus said, you know, don't worry when they bring you in front of kings and others in authority. The Holy Spirit's going to give you the words to say in the moment, on the spot. And I think that's a perfect example of it. Lastly and quickly, the Holy Spirit transforms our hearts. Here's something where we miss time and time and time again. You're not going to become a better Christian by getting better yourself. Or you're not going to be a better Christian by trying to be good. It doesn't work like that. Galatians, one of Paul's letters to the church at Galatia, chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, by His power, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Be guided by Him. You ever been frustrated by your own personal growth? Anybody here? You ever wish you were more loving, more peaceful, more patient, more kind, more good to others, more faithful to your own word or intention, more gentle with others, and more in control of yourself? Anybody here? Three or four of you. Okay. Good. We all want that. Look what Paul says. The fruit of the Spirit is all of those things. He used the word fruit. Interesting that he would use that word. Fruit grows naturally. When we had the wonderful orchards in this valley, you know, years and years ago, I'd go and walk in the orchards and watch the trees straining like crazy to get a piece of fruit out. I heard them yelling and screaming and, you know, to make it pop out. Well, not really. Fruit grows naturally, doesn't it? When the nutrients of the ground come up through the trunk of the tree and out to the limbs and where the fruit is growing. It's a natural process of being nourished, strengthened, and then doing what is a natural thing. That's why Paul chose the word. It's a fruit. It's something the Spirit of God, with the resources of God flowing into our lives, well, it makes a difference. How much time do we spend with God, speaking to us, guiding us, encouraging us, strengthening us, sometimes stopping us or correcting us? We'll look at the functions of the Bible in a few weeks, you know, and how all of that works. As we let the fruit of the Spirit mature in our lives, we become more loving. It's not like I grit my teeth and I try to act more loving. I become more loving. Here's the exercise for the week. Let the Holy Spirit give you Jesus eyes. We talked about this in our class, you know, our life group, spiritual conversation life group. Put on the Jesus glasses. Put on the Jesus glasses, which means this. When you look at people today and tomorrow and the next day, all through the week, when you look at them with the eyes of Jesus. For Jesus, when he saw the people, he felt compassion for them, for they were lost like sheep without a shepherd. It's the way Jesus saw people. Let God in His Spirit give you those eyes to see people out there lost like sheep without a shepherd, and He will grow a heart of compassion in you for those around you. Make sense? The Holy Spirit. Let's put up the statement one more time. We believe God, the Holy Spirit, teaches and empowers followers of Jesus to know and obey God. Therefore, we will rely on the Holy Spirit to empower us to obey God. Amen? Let's pray. Gracious Father, how wonderful You are. You have not left us alone. We're not left to our own devices. We're not left just to our own thinking. We're not left to fend for ourselves. You're not in some other part of the universe busy with something else. You are right here and right now. It is Your Spirit who speaks to us, confirms truth, convicts of sin, guides into righteousness, brings the fruit of those wonderful character qualities to perfection, gives us the truth we need to share with others.